Welcome to another episode of Living with Dying. Anyone who's been listening for a while to this series of podcasts will know that I've spoken to a number of people who work in the funeral business, and I'm always interested about what attracts them to work in this field. And I'm here today with Fiona Duffy of Co-op Funeral Care in Hayes, who has her own unique journey, I think, into this kind of work. Fiona, would you like to start by telling me what happened to you?
Hi, Dillis. Being Irish, I come from a very traditional Irish background, where we have lots of deceased, lots of people who've passed away. It is normal in Ireland to go and see your loved one who has passed away. So I suppose dying never really affected me in a sense, more so that it was normal for my upbringing to go and see our loved ones when they do pass away. I've had a lot of experiences myself in my own family. I had lost my dad quite young, after the age of 43. I was only 16 myself, so I experienced death quite young. I also had a brother who unfortunately committed suicide, which was not so long ago. I also had my mum who passed away quite young. She was 60. And I also had my father-in-law who passed away 6 months later. So in the couple of years, I'd lost my brother, my mum, my dad, and three aunts. So I actually remember I'd moved to Hayes, where I live now. And I remember passing the funeral care every day as I took my daughter to school. And after experiencing what I experienced, I thought, I've got a lot to give. I've got a lot of experience where myself have gone through suicide, lost my dad quite young, lost my mum. She was not elderly. So I felt I could give something back. So I applied to be a funeral arranger. I got accepted, absolutely over the moon. My progression was quite quick. I then became a funeral director. And then I became a funeral service manager, and now I am a care logistics manager.
So looking back to all those deaths that came quite quickly, must have been really difficult for you. Did you come across some really good funeral arrangers that inspired you, or funeral care workers, I should say, that inspired you? Or was it more that you felt you hadn't been treated very well and you wanted to do things differently?
It was probably a little bit of both. I mean, a lot of my family obviously resided in Ireland, so quite different from over here, where normally you could pass away on a Monday and you actually could be buried on a Wednesday. It's quite quick. In England, their funerals, as you know, would take 2 or 3 weeks. In Ireland, it's just a different way of the way they do funerals. We had some beautiful funeral directors in Ireland and also in England. And I thought to myself, I could do this. I could really do this. I could give something back. I suppose I could give the experience of what I myself have been through, and I would be able to help people. And I knew that every day I passed that co-op, I really wanted to work in funeral care.
We did an episode a while back now with an Irishman called Kevin Toulis, who is very keen on promoting the Irish way of death. And so anybody who's listened to that will kind of relate to what you're saying, because death is not brushed under the carpet there, is it? It's all very out in the open. You do go and visit the body, as you say. People will sit around the coffin for hours on end.
Often they go into people's houses. We'll sit with them overnight. It's just the traditional way of, it's more so in the country of Ireland, where in the city centre, it's very similar to here, but definitely in the country, you would have your loved one at home. You would sit with them, you would play music, you would have, it is a lovely way of doing it. It's quite traditional.
So you're saying that you've learned from that experience?
Oh, absolutely.
You're bringing that experience to your work today.
I am quite traditional. I suppose I am quite traditional. And I just remember that when I went to go and see my brother, it was probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. So for anybody that has had to deal with suicide, you're always going to get the whys, and I don't think that will ever leave you. But to have somebody by your side to help you and guide you through the stages of that, to know that, and they were absolutely amazing. They helped and guided us the whole way through. They were there every step of the way, and it does make it that little bit easier if you can have somebody that you can lean on. And for our family, they were absolutely amazing. And I just knew, like I said, I knew that, I think it was actually after my brother passed away, I knew that I could give something back. I knew that I could, like I said, give my experiences, because it's absolutely not easy for anybody that passes away, not just suicide. It's not easy to, I myself had a miscarriage, which was hard to go through. I lost a baby of 15 weeks. So I just knew that I had a lot of experience and life skills to be able to help the people in the funeral care. I knew that I could relate with somebody's mum passing away. I could relate to somebody's dad passing away. I could relate to losing a baby. I could relate to somebody who's passed away with suicide. I can relate to sudden deaths I've had. So I just knew that it would be something that I've experienced. So I knew I could pass that knowledge on to people in funeral care.
Can you tell me a bit about your brother and what happened?
Yeah, so my brother was 33. Life and soul of the party. Absolutely life and soul of the party. Nobody ever knew that he was suffering. Or he then split up with his wife. I don't mind sharing the story. Things went a little bit downhill for him. We had the boom in Ireland. Work had dried up a little bit. So he was having a little bit of, as we all go through, ups and downs. I was living over here. He'd actually come and visited me the week before. So he'd come over and we'd spent the week together, actually, and then he'd gone home. And yeah, I got up, as I normally would do, at 7 o'clock, 6:30, to go to work, get the kids ready to go to school. And my house phone rang, and it was actually my sister-in-law. And I actually thought it was my mum. My mum wasn't in great health either. So I answered the phone to my sister-in-law, screaming down the phone that they have found my brother hanging in my mum's back garden. To which, for I think it took me a good 5 minutes to sort of realise what she was saying. Because I said he was the life and soul of the party. He was always laughing, always joking. So it was completely unexpected. We didn't know he was struggling. Nobody had known he was struggling. He kept it to himself. So yeah, that was quite hard. To which I actually remember, I think my son was 9 at the time, coming down the stairs because I was screaming, and ringing my husband and saying, "Mum is screaming. I don't know why she is screaming." And then I do remember, after I had calmed down, that I actually rung my sister-in-law back and said, "Did you just tell me that you had found my brother passed?" And she said, "Yes, yeah, Fiona, like, we're waiting for the ambulance, but he's been there for quite a long time, unfortunately, and they're unable to do anything." So yeah, it was quite a shock. It was quite a shock. More so for, obviously, you're going to think about his children, but my worry was that my mum found him and actually had to take him down. So that lived at my mum forever. My mum also lost a child when he was 7, so that was her second death too. She lost 2 children. Yeah, and it took a long time to get over. It took a long, because, as I said, for anyone that's been through suicide, it is a lot of whys. What could we have done? Did we not see anything? Should we have seen something? So it's quite hard to deal with. It is quite hard. I'm lucky I had my children and I had a good husband, and I've got 3 beautiful children who helped me get through it, as long with my own family. But yeah, my mum was never right after that. She actually passed away not long after that. So it was tough for her. As I said, that was her second child. I can only imagine, I could never imagine losing a child. So to lose 2, one at 7 and one at 33, was absolutely devastating.
And for her to have found him.
It is very tough. And then obviously my brother, as I said, you've got lots of questions. Could we have heard him out the back? Should I have heard him? So you're always going to have lots of questions.
But you don't presumably ever get the answers, do you?
You don't. You don't. You learn to accept it. You learn, I suppose, to live with it. You learn that if there was something at the time, we would have done it, if that makes sense. We were a very close family, and we still are a very close family. And as I said, we never seen anything. So I think that was probably one of the hardest things, that we didn't spot something. Because as much as he was a laugh and a joker, he must have been hurting. He must have been hurting, and he didn't reach out. And I think even for my mum, that was quite hard to, I suppose, for any of your children, because you never want to see your children in pain. You never want to know that they're hurting. And as a mum, you're always going to try to make sure they don't. So I think for that, my mum, it was very hard for my mum. Very hard.
Can I be curious and
Of
ask
course.
whether you go searching for answers? I mean, do you look through all
I
his
did.
papers? Is that the kind of thing
I
one does?
did. I did. It's very hard because curiosity is going to catch you. And for me, I just wanted to make sure that he didn't suffer when it happened. I do remember Googling that actually the night I came back from after his funeral. And I did remember actually searching that because I wanted to know that he just didn't hurt when he did it. Because the thought of anybody obviously doing what they did, it's quite hard. It's quite hard. But yeah, so I got the phone call. As you know, as I said, in Ireland, it's quite quick. I booked a flight that morning. I had to go back because my daughter at the time didn't get her school place, funny enough. So Dad had to stay behind with my daughter because we were having an appeal. So yeah, he came back and then that was, and we'd had the funeral the next day. We had the rosary, then a removal. For anybody that doesn't know what a rosary is, it's you go and have prayers in the funeral home. And then the following night we have a rosary, which you then take your loved one to the church. And then the next day it's a burial. So it's 3 days and it was literally, so he passed away on the, I can't actually remember the day. We'd say, for example, it was a Monday. Rosary was on a Tuesday, removal on a Wednesday and burial on a Friday. So you don't get much time to process it.
Is that helpful or not?
I don't know any different, if that makes sense, because at the time I wasn't working in funeral care. And in Ireland, that is just the normal way. It's the normal way. And in a sense, that there's, I suppose there's pros and cons. In the sense, you don't have time to think about it because you just have to organise everything. But then it's afterwards. It is a massive, massive shock where the funeral is done with. And you then supposedly have to go on with life. And that's really tough. And I generally, and I've always said this, without my children, I probably wouldn't have been able to. Because you don't have a choice, right? You don't have a choice. You have to. You've got to get up and you've got to be strong and you've got to be the mummy and you've got to go back to work and you've got to take the kids to school and you've got to be. So you didn't really have a choice, if that makes sense. But yeah, it's very, very quick to listen, Ireland. Very quick. But I do remember, and it's really strange how certain things go through your head. I do remember when I went to go and see him in when he was laid out, looking. If that makes sense, looking for where the mark was on his neck. And yeah, as I said, it's anybody that passes away, it's hard. But to anybody that lose somebody for suicide, it is really, really tough. Lots of ways. And even now, there isn't a day that you don't, of course, don't think about people, but more so when it's their birthdays and Christmas and his children are getting older and he's now, their children are having babies. Of course, you're going to think and you just think, I wish back then, because I am going back a few years ago now, I wish the help was more available back then. Because now it is, I suppose there was a taboo about mental health years ago, wasn't there? Whereas now it's more acceptable to talk about it, and it is more acceptable for men to share their funerals. And I am glad of that. I'm glad that people can open up and men can talk about how they feel now. And you don't have to be this big, strong man to be able to cope. So times have changed, which I am glad about. And I'm glad that there isn't such a stigma against mental health now.
There was also a stigma about suicide.
There absolutely was.
You reckon that's gone?
Not 100%, to be honest. But it's such a tough one, Dennis, because it is such a tough one because a lot of people would say suicide is selfish, but it's not. It's not, because that person's really hurting. They're really, really hurting, and it's not at all selfish. It's absolutely not. It's the only way that they feel is a way out. And I wish, like I said, I wish back then that it was where we are today. There's absolutely still a stigma, and there probably will, I don't know if that will ever go away. But it's definitely, like I said, we're definitely in a better place now than what we were all those years ago, that it is okay to have mental health problems and it is okay you're not, you don't have to be this strong man that looks after everything. And it's okay if you're crying, it's okay if you talk, and it is okay if you're having a bad day. That's absolutely okay too. So yeah, we are definitely in a better place than what we were those few years ago. But yeah, it's tough, Dillis. It is tough.
When I asked you earlier on if you went looking for clues and you talked about what you did, I was actually thinking of something different. I was thinking of clues about why he did it. I mean, were you looking through his papers and his emails?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you didn't find anything?
We did, but yeah, it's something that I don't really... It's a tough one because it's not my story to tell, if that makes sense. Do you know? I mean, yeah, it is a tough one. I don't want to talk about his children or his wife or his... But yeah, but again, they were all things that were solvable. They weren't. And I think that's the more frustrating part, that they were things that they could have been sorted and we could have helped. And then, like, of course, you're going to have the questions, could we have done more? Should we have done more? Did we, yeah, like I said, lots of questions, lots and lots of questions. And for anybody, like I said, that's committed suicide, those questions are hard because you're never going to get an answer. Never, ever going to get an answer to those questions until, if there ever such a time that you do go and meet them. Yeah.
You sound like a really compassionate person, and I'm getting the feeling that probably your compassion was probably always there, but it's kind of expanded because you've had all these experiences. So I can imagine how that helps you now
absolutely
in your work.
I just think that for me, everybody that comes into my care, it's somebody's mum, somebody's aunt, somebody's daughter, somebody's sister, somebody's uncle. And like I said, we've had fantastic experiences, and I just want to make sure that everybody that comes into my care gets the absolute best what they deserve, because that is what they deserve. And yeah, I always put myself that if it was my mum, if it was my dad. So yeah, I'm very, very caring anyway. But no, it's definitely helped me. It's definitely helped me, I suppose, stronger to be able to deal with it, if that makes sense. Because it can be quite emotional. Absolutely can be an emotional job. But it is also rewarding. Like, how lucky are we that we get to look after somebody's most precious thing on earth? And we're very, very lucky to be able to do that. And yeah, and I always say this to my kids, I'm very lucky to be and privileged to be able to do the job I do, to look after so many people, and that they chose us to look after them. And it's even more special when they come back, because we've done so well with looking after them that they feel confident to look after their next loved one. And that for us is quite good. It is lovely, and it's not rewarding in the sense that obviously we for anybody to pass away, it's absolutely devastating. But how lucky are we that they chose to use us and again and again and again, and that's lovely. That's lovely.
Have you come across any suicides in your work?
I have. So when I was a funeral service manager, I had just happened to be at one of the branches, and a lady had come in. She'd lost her husband to suicide. And again, lots of questions for her, and it's really, really tough. But it just happened to be that I was there on that particular day. So at the time, I was looking after, I think it was 8 branches. But at that particular day, I happened to be there at that branch. And she was talking to me about her lovely husband and her lovely children. And I just got talking to her, and obviously, we exchanged some things about my suicide, and I asked her if it was okay if I could conduct her funeral, because I just felt that I had a connection. And yeah, and we'd help her do her arrangement, and I conducted the funeral, but I was able to give her my experience. I mean, my experience could completely be different to everybody else's, but I was able to understand. I was able to understand that those questions that she talked about, that I talked about, and I was able to relate. So yeah, that was quite nice. I conducted her husband's funeral, and that was really nice to be able to give her the help and support at that time that she needed it.
I'm sure that was wonderful for her to have someone who she knew could understand.
Yeah.
We'd so been that, through something similar.
So that was quite nice. That was nice. Yeah, unfortunately, we have a lot of suicides, and yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it
Is
is
it
tough.
tougher than other people's losses?
I don't want to say so much tougher. It's tougher for the people who are going through it.
Yeah.
But I think everybody that loses a loved one is tough, isn't it? I think everybody that loses one, it's something that it is hard to deal with, and they have to go through their grief, and so it's tough for everybody. It is.
Now, when I last met you, we talked about the different kinds of community that you have here in Hayes, because you
Yeah,
have all kinds of different
we
religions
do.
and faiths, don't you, that you
We do.
work with?
We serve lots of different communities, whether you be Catholic, Church of England, Muslim, Sikh, we serve everybody. We do a lovely thing, what we call, it's a wash and dress, so it's their ritual. It's quite a lovely experience for them that they get to do that.
So this is path to which faiths?
So that would be more so, that would be Muslims, it would be Sikhs. Sometimes it's even we can even do it for other religions. But yeah, it is quite a lovely, lovely experience where they get to do their last wash, if that makes sense. They get to wash their mum, dad, brother, sister, and they get to actually dress them. And we then place them in their coffin, and then we will bring them into the chapel and they can spend some time with them. So it's always lovely once they've done the wash and dress, they bring them into the chapel and they get to see them placed in their lovely coffin, and they get the, I suppose, the experience, and they get to say their last goodbye, and they also get to that they've done that last thing for mum or dad or uncle or whoever it might be for the family. So that's really quite nice. That's a
Really
lovely
interesting, isn't
experience.
it, that as the British, I would say,
Yeah.
still seem to want to distance themselves from
Yeah.
death, whereas other communities, other
Yeah.
faiths, are happy to get much more involved, more hands-on,
Absolutely.
literally
Absolutely.
hands-on.
I suppose, you know what, like for me, as I said, I mean, growing up in Ireland, we had such a big family. It was normal to lose an aunt or an uncle or a, and you would, it was just normal that even as children, it's not so normal nowadays in Ireland, but back then, I'm talking a long time ago, I'm pushing on a bit now. But back then it would be absolutely normal to go to a funeral with your mum and dad. It was just the normal thing to do. So for me, I suppose that never really, I grew up with it, so it wasn't a massive shock to see that somebody's loved one lying there. But yeah, some people obviously it's hard. Look, when you've seen somebody for all those years and you've spent all that time with them, and for them, for a loved one to be lying there, and it's really tough for them. But it is beautiful when they come in and do wash and dresses, and they come in and they get to see their loved one in a chapel, and it's really quite nice. It gives them the, I suppose, their little bit of, I done that for mum, I done that for dad, and they were able to do that for their mum or for any of their family members. Children, oh, it's absolutely devastating to lose a child. Like I said, it's devastating to lose anyone, but it's absolutely devastating to lose a child, isn't it? I can only imagine how hard it is for parents. I could never, I mean, I had a miscarriage of 15 weeks, but and that was hard. And to lose a child, it's hard to think about, isn't it? But knowing that they've put our trust in us, and we get to look after, like I said, one of the most precious things in the world. How lucky are we that we can give that service to them? And it's something I've just always done. I like to make sure I'm around when they're dressing anybody because I'm a mum myself. And we do a lovely thing here back of house. So we ask the families if they had a lovely song they like listen to, if they had a lovely character, if there was something they really, really liked. As you know, kids love Peppa Pig, they love The Little Mermaid. And we ask the parents if it's something that they would like us to do. We always absolutely ask the parents. And while we're dressing their loved one, we will always make sure we do little nursery rhymes in the back. And it's just something that we have taken upon ourselves to do. It's quite tough, but again, how rewarding is it that we were able to give that family the absolute best support we could at the time? Yeah, quite hard, quite hard.
What's it like for you at the end of the day after something like that? If you've been washing and dressing a child, how
It's,
do you deal
yeah.
with your own emotions?
I go home and give my kids a big hug. Yeah, it's tough because you're going to feel some of that hurt that the parents do. Absolutely, we're all in a human at the end of the day, and it's yeah, you're going to take some of that home with you. And you just have to know that you've done the absolute best you can by the children that we look after. It's not an easy job, absolutely not. And for the parents, it's absolutely devastating. But also, on the other hand, I know that we will absolutely look after that loved one like we do with anybody. And we will give them, if it's a bedtime story the family have asked us to read, we can do that. We will, like I said, we will play the little music in the background. We've often played music if they've asked us to transfer their loved one off to one of the branches. We've also played the music in the car if they wanted us to do. And it's just those little touches that knows that, like I said, look, I'm a mum, and yeah, and to lose a child is just heartbreaking. So to be able to give that family absolutely anything we can do to help and support, that's what keeps me going. Yeah.
Interestingly, we had a family funeral at the weekend, and my little 7-year-old granddaughter asked, "Do children ever go to funerals?" She didn't. She wasn't.
Yeah.
This wasn't close by. She wasn't going to come. What's your view on that?
Do you know what? I don't really have a view, because I'll tell you why. For me, it was normal. For somebody else, it mightn't be. And it's such a hard decision. You, as a parent, if you've lost your husband or your mum, I think it's something that you have to talk about as a family together. Because some children will be absolutely fine, whereas others won't. And I think, so it depends on their ages. It depends on, I suppose, how close they were. We don't give kids enough credit for actually how strong they can be. But 9 times out of 10, they will tell you. They will tell you how, and like I said, it's really tough. Do you want to remember Granddad the way he is? Do you want to? Sometimes you have to make the decision for him, because as much as I suppose a 5-year-old, 4 or 5-year-old is not going to know any different. They just think they're going to see Granddad, don't they? They don't realize he's passed away. And so yeah, it's a difficult one, Dillis. It's a difficult one. I think as a family, you would have to make that one on a, for every case is different, isn't it? Yeah.
So, lastly, I want to ask you what I've asked a lot of people. You've had a lot of experience working with people who've just been bereaved
Yeah.
at the worst time of their lives. What are some of the things you've learned that are good to say, and some of the things that people definitely should not say?
I don't think time will heal always helps.
I hate that one.
I absolutely hate that one, because there absolutely is no time on grief. There is abs you cannot put a time on grief. Everybody is different, and everybody should be allowed to take their time to grief. I mean, like I said, it took me a long, long time to get over my brother. Absolutely should not be a time on grief. So that for me is an absolute no-no-go. They're in a better place. That also doesn't really sit with me, because, yeah, it just doesn't help at the time, I suppose. For me, I think for me, not only because I work for Co-op Funeral Care, but anybody, I just think it's about giving them to make sure that they know you're there. I am here if you need anything. I mean, on a personal level, picking up the phone, just making sure that, look, text message, I'm here if you need anything. Maybe you don't want to talk right now, but I am here. That for me is a big thing on a personal level. And also on a professional level, that they know that there is somebody around. And I think for me as well, it's not just the funeral, it's after the funeral. I want people to know that we're not just here for just the funeral, that we're absolutely here too when the funeral is over with. Come in, have a cup of tea. Do you know what I mean? We're always here, our doors are always open. And just knowing that they've got some support. Because some people aren't lucky enough to have families and they have to do it themselves.
And it's really interesting that you say people do call you for that kind of
Yeah.
support, because I think very often people don't want to reach out to their friends necessarily
Yeah.
because they're not sure how their friends are going to react.
Yeah.
But I guess with you, they feel you've got that experience, you'll handle them
Absolutely.
in a good way.
Absolutely. And it's not even that some people don't understand what forms they need to fill in. Some people don't realize what they have to do. And that's what we're here for, to help them, to guide them, to say, look, these are your next things you need to do. Come in if you need absolutely anything. If they've got a question that they just don't know the answer, call us. That's what we're here for. We're able to help you, support you, and make this time as much as we possibly can. One of the hardest times in what you're going to have to go through, we'll help and support you. And that for me is, I think that's a really important one. Just knowing that there is people there who can listen, who can help. Sometimes people haven't experienced it before. It's the first time. And even if people have experienced it 5 or 6 times, it's still tough.
It's difficult.
It's really difficult. It is.
Fiona, thank you so much for talking to me.
You're welcome.
And can I encourage anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while to try and spread the word, to tell one or two other people each time? That would be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
Death is never easy, but there are ways we can help each other through it. And if you've found any of these episodes helpful, please think about liking and sharing. You can contact us on hello@livingwithdying.co.uk. And a huge thanks to Joe Barrett, without whom these podcasts would simply not be possible.